Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to a brand new edition of Cup and Fracas podcast. Powered by Touchline Fracas, Touchline Media Group, should I say. And yeah, I'm here today with a regular on the main pod and the Kef podcast. You know, he's doing it all these days. Mark, how are you?
What are you saying? I'm here still. Feeling good. Liverpool are not playing, so that's a positive at this moment in time.
Yeah, you know what? I was going to talk about the main... They've tried to rush in that main podcast, didn't it?
Yeah, nah, they finished with me, main quad question. You know what's funny? Yeah, I went on there thinking, yeah, man, could like get into a bit of tactical analysis, like something light on a Sunday morning, afternoon, early Sunday afternoon. I got there, yeah, everything I said, Bab, Sebi, and Mariah were on, man, like spinning, man.
Bro, there, yeah. You know what it is? I feel like when it's like it's safe, it's like Mariah on his own, it's calm, but then when you got Sebi there too.
Yeah, them three together, yeah, they're just, they're crazy trio still.
They don't even want the three on one triple threat, fam. They don't want the tactical, they just want the blood.
Yeah, they want blood.
They just want pure blood. I remember there was one point you was talking about someone, like, you was praising, he was like, nah, fuck with that. What about Trent? I was thinking, oh. But, yeah, nah, listen to the main podcast if you haven't already, it's a good podcast. But, yeah, if you haven't already subscribed to our Patreon, for as little as £3 a month, you get fantastic content. As always, we're doing it through the international break, you know what I'm saying? We have AOBs, so like where we talk about other topics, not just football. We have the Bantics podcast where we pod about Liverpool, but in a statistical view. We've also got Mark as a special guest this week, so yeah, that'll be fantastic. And yeah, subscribe, follow us on all our social platforms, and yeah, let's get into it. So yeah, obviously it's the international break. It's been kind of a quiet week for Liverpool. Not really much news. Just kind of the fallout from the Ajax game. Obviously, it's nice to kind of get back a win after such a nightmare game after the Napoli game. And yeah, how are you feeling about Liverpool post the Ajax game? Obviously, a 2-1 win.
Yeah, you know what? I'm very positive, to be honest. Like, okay. I'm going to say silently positive because I don't want to expect too much from this team, but Thiago makes a big, massive difference in what we do. He's involved in all phases of play. He changes the way we build up, and Jota's inclusion as well. Like, Jota looks good. He was showing me a bit of Bobby, like he downloaded the Bobby starter pack in terms of being able to link up play, and he's still a shooter on it, so that's good to see.
Yeah, for sure. It's just incredible how much of a difference, I think, Matip and Thiago bring to our squad. And, like, it's even, like, some of the little things. Like, even, like, Matip, obviously, we know he's great defensively. But when he's on the ball, like, teams, they obviously give him space. And you really can't give him space because he's, like, an extra avenue for us. Like, he brings the ball forward. And he can also, like, fizz it in between the lines. Or he can just keep driving until someone literally presses him. You know what I'm saying? So, I think it's one of the last season against Leeds where no one closed him down. He just kept going and going, done a 1-2 and then just scored. But he's just another weapon in possession. And like you said on the main podcast, Thiago, Like he's we always. We cannot replace him. We have to replace him because he's not always fit. So, in possession, he's so key for us, so press resistant, and he helps Fabinho out so much. And it's the things that, like, he takes up these clever kind of spaces where, like, let's say we're going to get countered on, Fabinho naturally maybe will try and cover Trent or he'll go into the right side, and then Thiago will fill in that kind of CDM role, will fill in that central role, and then, you know what I'm saying? And then now you kind of have, like, a double pivot, and we're kind of covered in that kind of transitional areas. But, like, when you're playing other people in those positions, they don't have the kind of sense of awareness or that positional kind of IQ to kind of fill in the gaps and help Fabinho. And yeah, he's a fantastic player. And it's just a shame that them two are not, we can't count on their fitness consistently for every game of the season, but we look a much better team of them for sure. Jota as well. Jota, good performance as well. I didn't expect him to be so sharp. Come back from
neither did I, you know. I wasn't expecting him to start, especially with it being a Champions League game, which I think suits Nunes more than a Premier League game at this moment in time, because he's playing against teams that he's played with Benfica.
Yeah.
And because Jota was just coming back from injury, and I think it was only 20 minutes played before that game. So I thought, you know, he might start with Nunes and maybe Nunes gets a goal or something like that. But he's through in Jota, and Jota looks amazing.
Yeah, he did. He did, for sure. You
can even see, like, the fluidity between the front three as opposed to what Nunes brings.
Yeah. Like, Jota's comfortable on that left-hand side, you know what I'm saying? He plays left wing for Wolves, so he's able to kind of go onto the left-hand side. Diaz can even play central if you want, and interchanges. And his assist for the Salah goal was great. But, yeah, I think Liverpool overall, we looked good. The only thing I'm just concerned about is that, like, I didn't learn anything new. I know that Thiago and Matip are great players, like, and we improve when they come to the side, but what's the plan when Thiago isn't fit? You know what I'm saying? What's the plan when Matip isn't fit, and hopefully Konate will come back and that will kind of help us defensively in that kind of sense. But when Thiago isn't fit again and he picks up another injury, which is kind of inevitable, what is the plan? You know what I'm saying?
We can talk about that with our next segment
we can segue into it. A lot of people are kind of saying, especially when we signed him, this is Arthur Melo, that he is kind of similar to Thiago, and him being kind of like a controller and him kind of being a player who likes to kind of get on the ball, make passes, probably passes that are not as adventurous as Thiago, or maybe conservative kind of a passing range. But he's a player that can possibly fill in that kind of left centre mid role. We saw him, Cavalio and Nat Phillips playing the under-21 game this weekend. I think Arthur's actually meant to be on holiday, because I know all the other players are on holiday. Yeah.
So what I heard here was one of the reports anyway, was he specifically asked to be involved in under-21 games. I think more to impress the manager and get his fitness up, innit?
Yeah, I saw a lot of these players.
He's even playing tonight, by the way. He's playing tonight against Tranmere.
Is he?
Yeah.
Wow, so you're saying that Jay Sparing, Arthur and Cavalio
midfield? Cavalio's not even playing. I think it's just Bagatic, and I think Paul Gorse tweeted it. Let me just go check.
I think that's impressive. It's impressive from Arthur that he wants to kind of stay behind, and obviously these senior players, they're either gone on holiday or on international break, but he's asked to kind of stay behind with the under-21s and kind of get used to this kind of system. Obviously, we know it's probably... there's nothing like a Klopp system, right? And nothing like, obviously, the kind of midfield roles that we play and the responsibilities they have. So it's impressive for them to want to stay behind. But I don't know, man. It's a signing for me. It's just that, you know what it is? Arthur's been available for the whole window, like from start to finish.
It's definitely, and I think we've talked about this extensively in the group, and it's definitely... a panic sign, isn't it? I feel like it's just one of the better options. Like, you could have panicked and got Zakaria.
Ross Barkley.
You could have panicked and got somebody worse than
even though I like worse,
or less talented. Could have panicked and got somebody less talented than Arthur Melo. So I feel like that's, I guess, the best of all the available evils, isn't it?
It's the fact that, like, he's been available. And I think Arsenal were linked with him last season. In terms of they wanted him to kind of come to their midfield, because I remember everyone's panicking about Arsenal midfield last season, and that if Partey gets injured, what's going to happen? And then they pass on buying him. No one else. He's out of form at Juventus, Mark. How? Like, Juventus midfield isn't that great. It's not that great.
But to be honest, I heard that's more about Allegri than him, innit?
Mm.
I heard Allegri likes to use. Was it Rabiot?
Well, they've got Rabiot. Who they got? Locatelli.
Yeah, he likes these more pragmatic midfielders than Arthur Melo. Yeah. And I think Rabiot and Locatelli cover more ground, which could be like a signal that maybe Arthur isn't the guy that we think he may be. But in my opinion, and I was kind of happy with the signing, to be honest, in terms of it's a loan signing, so very low risk. Like, thinking of it from a business point of view, like, if he bangs, we're good. If he doesn't bang, we can always move him on.
Oh, they got Paredes, that's it. They got Paredes.
Yeah.
And Weston McKennie as well.
So, yeah, if he doesn't bang, we can just not sign him. We have an option. If he does bang, and I was also thinking about the fact that he may want to play himself into contention for the Brazil squad, but based on the amount of games that I think he will start, and we had this little conversation, it's looking unlikely. I don't see him any more than 5 starts in our current side, if Thiago stays fit in it. But who knows? Games are going to be coming thick and fast in October, and there may be a lot of rotation, so there may be an opportunity for him in it.
Yeah, and I mean, if he does end up being a good signing, he end up being a good player, that solves so much more problems, because then you have a natural made kind of replacement for Thiago whenever he does inevitably miss 10, 15 assists a season, and Arthur Melo can come in. And also, when KR, Chamberlain, Milner all go next season. Yeah,
we need to replace 4 midfielders.
Yeah.
An easy one just to get over the line. Like, FSG, just pay the option.
And he doesn't have to settle in. You don't have to settle in with 3 midfielders.
Then obviously we go for the prime target in Bellingham. We go for one more, maybe Salcedo. And then a youngster may even come into it. If Bagatic is able to progress over the season, then who knows? Or if Fabio Carvalho, who we'll talk about next, is able to show a bit more defensive quality to Klopp, because I think he was quite good when he played.
No, I don't think Carvalho's long term future is in our midfield.
Yeah, neither do I. Neither
I
do
think it's in the midfield line or in the 10.
I do think stats wise, yeah, his defensive contributions versus Everton were quite good. Like, he had maybe 12 recoveries in 45 minutes, which is superb numbers, isn't it? That's like talking Kante numbers. But it was more because of the expansiveness of the game and how a derby is. And maybe because Everton are quite poor on the ball. But yeah, that seems like good numbers that he may be able to be an option there, even though I do want him as a false nine. Like, I want him to be the Bobby replacement when Bobby leaves.
Yeah, for sure. It could definitely be an option there. But yeah, like I was saying, and just if Arthur could be an option there where we buy him, and then you don't only have to bring in 2 more midfielders next year, then it makes our life easier. But I'm just not so sure. I'm not so sure. I'm not sure if he has the ability to kind of play there for us. I don't know. We have to see him. I haven't really seen him play. I can't judge him because he's not fully fit yet. So yeah, we'll just have to see. But it's nice to see him obviously staying behind and obviously putting in the kind of work and the effort to kind of be ready and be more match fit. But yeah, any words on Carvalho and obviously Phillips? I've no words for Phillips, to be honest. Maybe just bored. I don't know. He had a nosebleed or something like that during the match. Like, bro, it's an under 21 match. Like, what are going on for you?
He's a nut. Like, he just knows. Unfortunately, he just shouldn't be at this level, innit? Like,
yeah,
he did really well on the pod. And boy, if you watch that Palace match properly,
Nah, he got turned, man.
Stuttering on the ball. He wasn't moving the ball that fast. And when you have the comparison of Matip, who we talked about earlier, to Phillips, who doesn't know how to progress the ball properly, and he's always doing like a little bit of a run and then a sideways pass, then
he'll get the ball and then like drive up of it and then get, you know, when you get like scared, he get like a nose
what's
the point of that?
A lot more space in front of you, you know. Like, if you just had a bit more confidence or a bit more tech, then you'll be able to push the game a bit more. But unfortunately,
it's not his fault.
He's not that guy. Like, he's tried to adapt to us and he should have been sold, unfortunately, 2 seasons ago, after the high of being able to get us into top 4, but nobody came in for us at the right price, which is bullshit. We should have just sold. the 12 million that was offered, or whatever that was offered.
Wait, guys in the chat were saying we can get 25 million for him. Am I correct?
I can't even remember, man.
I'm sure Ellie said that we can get 20, 25 million for
that
him.
That was a very dark time. Let's not even let's bring up things that have been said in the chat. Because, boy, we'll be here all day.
I remember that conversation.
Episode, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Like,
now that it's fucking international break, maybe we should just have the episode of the pod, yeah, where we just go through things in the chat.
Oh, just the craziest shouts and just yeah.
Just say, you know what, this is what this person said, just so you got to really know what the cast's on in it.
Hey, that Juniper one, hey, that'll be a long combo. That'll be a long, long combo.
Aye, ASM is still there, bro. There's still 4 out of 5, 4 out of 8 hits. That's 50%.
But he was a Teller, Gineppo.
It was Teller, Gineppo, Rafina, ASM, Lookman, Adama Traore, Bertrand Traore, I think.
No, it wasn't Bertrand Traore. It wasn't Bertrand Traore.
Definitely Bertrand Traore.
Oh my God. Anyway, yeah, that would be a crazy episode. One day we definitely have to do that for sure. But yeah, let's go back into the topic. Obviously, Caballero, what do you think that kind of brings him? Is it just a case of just, again, a new signing, wanting to get more adjusted to the system, probably getting stronger, getting more match fit, and just, yeah, I know he had an injury recently as well, so probably that's probably got to do with it as well.
It wasn't like a massive injury, it was just a dead leg from what was said in it. But I think he needs to just adapt to the bumps and bruises that you get in the Premier League in it. So it's one of those things where he just had an injury, you would kind of want to keep him in a bit of a rhythm and getting more accustomed to like how adults play football, because he still is quite a young youth. I think he's 19 still. And he hasn't played that much Premier League football, maybe about 4 or 5 games. So being able to just have that extra minutes into your legs is good.
Yeah, I hear it for sure. Yeah, I guess it's nice to see that they were willing to put that extra effort in. And yeah, there's one kind of interesting rumour today that I saw. We're linked to Mikhailo Mudryk, who plays for Shakhtar Donetsk. I don't know if I butchered his name or not, but yeah, I think that's quite an interesting rumour, because obviously he's not at like a more known side. Like, I think when we normally buy people, they're more at kind of like established sides, or maybe they're playing like a top like 4 or 5 league in Europe. But he's obviously at Shakhtar Donetsk, and he's been linked with a lot of clubs in the summer. Have you seen a lot of him? What do you make of him?
No, I haven't seen. I've only seen comps, but I guess we've targeted people from Shakhtar before. We targeted Alex Teixeira before we moved to Shakhtar. And that was supposed to be like in the bag kind of thing. I think we ended up going for Salah, maybe.
Yeah.
If it was at the same time. And obviously Salah's been a roaring success. But from what I've seen in the comps here, he looks very, very, like, he looks too good to be playing in that league. Everything.
They're telling me the Ukrainian Neymar.
Bro, like,
that's what they're telling me.
I've seen, yeah. It looks so easy for him. Like, he looks like he should be playing CL football. Like,
yeah. Well, he is playing CL football.
Now, CL football in terms of, like, you know, there's the lower league CL teams, like the Gents, the Saturday.
Oh, you're not reading that thing, yeah.
Yeah, then I'm thinking, like, more of a second place CL team. Maybe, like, a Marseille, like, a Lyon, maybe.
Just maybe, maybe a team, I think. So what we're trying to say is like a team that has, maybe has a chance of like progressing to like a good level in the
better way of doing it.
Yeah, for sure. From what I've seen in the comps, he looks very quick, like very quick. Like, you see when he gets the ball, he can get separation from the defender, and when he's off, you can't really catch him. And he's also got this kind of little nice, like, he can go past players. He's got that nice little, you know what I'm saying, nice little shimmy. He's able to kind of, yeah, he dribbling looks very nice. He looks very good, clean technically. And obviously he scored, I think, in the 2 group stage games for Shakhtar Donetsk this season.
One thing I also like is he's got both foot, from what I've seen in it. Like, he's able to strike the right foot. And for me, left footers that can use their right foot are very well, use their right foot comfortably.
They're rare.
Very rare. And when you can find them, yeah, there's also another guy at maybe Lille. That one of the underrated is on the underrated post and that, and he looks very good as well. Left footers that have.
Who are you talking about?
I can't remember what his name is still. Let me see if I can find it quickly, innit?
What country's from?
I think Ivory Coast. It's definitely a black guy still.
That's interesting. I think it's kind of interesting that obviously I think people might say, oh, we'll get another attacker, or like obviously because we bought Diaz and Jota in quick succession. But I do think I like our attack personally. I think our attack is a very good attack. It's a nice blend of profiles. It's just that obviously we're just learning to kind of adjust now that Mane's gone and kind of where they're going to play in the system. But I do like our attack personally. But I do think there's space for one more, especially with like Firmino goals. I think there's space for one more. And we don't have that natural placement for Salah on that right-hand side. So that's why I think this Mudrik can kind of fit into the squad. So he can kind of be back up to Salah. And it, in the future, if he's good enough, maybe we can kind of, if Salah obviously gets older and he starts to decline, Mudrik can kind of be his natural successor on that right-hand side. So, but yeah, where do you see him fitting in this squad?
Exactly the same, isn't it? Being a left footer that plays on the left at the moment, I think the switch to the right won't be that hard.
No.
Be able to slot in, and he's able to use both feet, and I feel like that changes the dynamic on the left, so the right hand side as well, and that you have somebody that's able to go inside and outside and does it at more of a higher clip than Salah. Also in terms of like bringing up the, we don't currently have a backup right winger, so bringing up the ceiling of that right wing, I guess Harvey Blair, who's back from injury, thank God, but he isn't really someone that's going to challenge to start or challenge to be in the side. So it'll be nice to have somebody that's in that midpoint that's challenging to start but young enough to know that they're going to sit on the bench.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. And obviously, if there are times where you can play left wing, you can play left wing, great, you know what I'm saying? But you can play both sides. So, but the cost is kind of looking like a mad thing, because obviously I know that they rejected like a 30 million bid from Everton this summer. I know West Ham are also interested, so I don't know what the cost might be for maybe like a 50 or 60 million. What's the highest you'd pay for him, Mark? Or if he even...
I would give them 20 million an ox.
Wow. That's from the school of Michael Edwards, boy. The school of Michael Edwards. Man said 20 million an, please.
I think his name is Dango O'Tara. Maybe 20 years old still, plays for the Lille.
So you're not fully convinced on this Mudrik guy then?
No, I am convinced, yeah, but I don't want to pay 50 mil for someone that I see as a backup in it.
Yeah,
especially when we have so much quality in our front line. He isn't really going to start.
Yeah.
I know Nunes hasn't had a great start to the season, but I'm expecting him to pick up, and he's £85 million. Play your £85 million player if they're good enough to play. So I'm not too sure where he comes in. So I would rather, and because we need a midfield rebuild, I would rather spend the money in midfield. Yeah. I'd rather like see if you can get a £35 million winger or £30 million winger, that sweet spot for our forwards.
Yeah.
And then go big in midfield, get the Bellinghams, the Kones, the Saicedos, everything.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. I agree, to be honest. I like him. I like him as a player, but I'm just not totally like, it's not a burning desire. We don't 100% need his vision. So it's not something that we need to spend so much money on, you know what I'm saying? So it'll be nice if we can get him in, but I don't think it's like such a pressing concern for us. Our forward line is still pretty young, you know what I'm saying? Apart from Firmino and obviously Salah, but Salah doesn't like him to decline yet. So yeah. So obviously we know that it's International Week. And there isn't too much to talk about. So we kind of come up with this idea that it's kind of inspired by, like, I'm not sure if you guys watched a Monday Night Football kind of, it was between Jamie Carragher and Gary Neville. And they kind of done like, they rated all of Man United signings. Was it, I think, post-Fergie, I think, maybe? So,
post-Fergie.
Was it? What did you say?
Ibrahimovic was Mourinho, wasn't it? Yeah, it was post-Fergie still.
Yeah, so they read all of Man United signs post-Fergie into green, red, green, amber and red. And we're going to do the same, but with Klopp's transfer signing. So all the players that Klopp signed in his reign, we're going to rank them into green, amber and red, or red, amber and green. But yeah, I think this would be an interesting one. I know Mark's got a couple stands in there that... Boy, he's going to do well to kind of defend them here, but yeah, so okay, hold on, let me share my screen for Mr. Marco. I know the first one is Marko Grujic. That was Klopp's first ever signing on the 6th of January 2016. We bought him for 5 million. What's your verdict on him?
Like, as much as I used to like the player when he first came in, especially like sharing the same name, like shout out him. I have to go red. He hasn't played enough games for us. He hasn't made an impact in the slightest. I guess business wise, it was a flip, double money. But
yeah, I was going to say that, that's the one positive about him, is that we got a flip from him. Obviously, when we did end up selling him, we got a flip. But what do we know? Kind of what his potential was when we bought him.
I think he was like supposed to be Emre Can levels.
Okay, like, got you.
So he would end up being somebody that, well, Emre Can in midfield for us, you remember, like he used to be able to drive with the ball. He was technically decent on the ball. Yeah. And he was like a bully in the middle. Like he wouldn't let people get past him. He was kind of like an enforcer.
Yeah.
So I think he was supposed to be, it just didn't pan out that way.
For sure. Okay, we'll just take in turns and obviously give our opinions on. So I'll do the next one. Next one is Stephen Cook. Cool. Should we do the loan signings on there?
Nah, fuck loans, man.
Okay. Camille Grabera, goalkeeper. I think for 250.
Was a young goalkeeper though, man. Just haven't seen him at all.
I still have to put him in red, my boy. Unlucky. The next one is, you can't see my screen, by the way.
Yeah, I can.
Next one is Sadio Mane for 30 million.
Of course.
Big green. Take it away.
Big green. My guy, man.
Yeah, the one that started the revolution.
I know there's been a lot of talk on your name. I've even said you weren't great for the 18 months leading up to AFCON, yeah. But overall, the 7 years that you've been here, you've been an amazing servant. I don't think there's maybe one more person that's performed to a higher level over that span of time.
I think the only people you can put above him are Salah and Van Dijk, I think.
Yeah. And I would, with Van Dijk, I want to put him up there, but it's just money for me. I like attacking football in it more than I like defensive football. So you get that bias.
So okay, we're getting to Van Dijk now. But because obviously Van Dijk, the Ballon d'Or thing, like, come on, that's different.
Right? Yeah.
Like, okay. Seeing a defender, whatever, to go for the Ballon d'Or, that's different.
The things that I remember with Mane, so like, the things that come straight to my head, I remember in the first debut goal versus Arsenal, slaps it liquid. I remember in the Bayern goal, like, and these are just not random, so these are not like systemic moments, it's just random thoughts that are coming to my head. Like the feelings that I get when I say Mane's name, and all the goals that I remember are just
the moments, in it. Like those moments where, like, you see when like iconic players, they have those moments where you're like, okay, this is what I remembered him because he done this, he done that.
Yeah. You don't even need to think too deeply about it. It's just like, oh yeah, I remember Mane. He slapped a goal on his left foot against Everton for no reason. Like
the Man City one, the Bayern Munich one is different gravy. Yeah, like, absolutely different gravy. The Bayern Munich one. But yeah, and the reason why I like him so much is because he was the first one to come to Klopp. Like, we hadn't signed anyone then, and he truly believed in Klopp's kind of vision of making this a great team. You know, so we didn't have Van Dijk, we didn't have Salah
as well. Still,
that's what I'm saying. So yeah, shout out to him. The next one is Loris Karius. I'm going to put him in red, obviously. He just got me from Newcastle. Shout him out. But yeah, he made too many mistakes. The Champions League final obviously comes to mind.
Heartbreak.
Heartbreaking moment. I know he had a concussion, but yeah.
I don't care about a concussion. Especially the fact with concussions, bro.
I have to put him in red. Joel Matip on a free transfer.
Green. On a free transfer, to have one of the top 10 centre backs in the league at the moment. And yeah, he's had his injury issues. If it wasn't for his injury issues, he'll be like a big green, like he'll be the brightest green. But I have to give him like a dull green at the moment because as good as he is in.
But free, though, you got him on a free, didn't it? Sign him for
I did him on a free. So like it's still a green, and it's still a green. I just wish he was a lot more fit throughout his time with us, innit? Up until maybe two seasons ago, he hasn't really been as consistent, but he's been great since then.
Yeah, I think he's definitely won great business for us, especially on the free. And my thing is that if he stayed fit, I think that's where it would put him into like, okay, he's actually one of the best defenders in the world. But because he doesn't stay fit, you can't actually say he's one of the best defenders in the world, even though he's got a talent and he performs to that level, but he doesn't stay fit enough for that. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
that's my thing with him. But another top signing. Okay, this one's interesting. Ragnar Klavan. Obviously, he signed him for 4.2 million. And he was kind of like a stopgap for Liverpool. I think he must have been like 30 or 31 when we did sign him. He was kind of old. Obviously, Matip was getting a lot of injuries. Lovren was kind of like a bit hit and miss. So we needed to sign another defender. We got Ragnar Klavan. Where are you putting him?
I'm putting him in Amber. Loads of people standing
Why?
Because he's a decent centre-back, but he wasn't the level. Like, for me, yeah, the Greens are the people that took us up a level and were very successful doing it. He was a stopgap, essentially, and he performed to a decent enough clip. I don't mind giving him a green because of the amount of money spent.
That's what I am. So if he buys someone for 4.2 million, he's fulfilled.
Yeah, that. But at the same time, yeah, we bought Minamino for 8 million, like, and Minamino shouldn't be touching green, like, regardless of the goals that he scored and regardless of like how influential he is in certain cup runs.
That's a good point. That is a good point. I hear it.
I don't mind putting him like amber slash green in it. Like, even green, I'm still okay with in it, but I want it to be out there that I don't personally think he was a top tier defender.
Okay, so the way I think of Klavan is that he's kind of become this cult hero because it's like he kind of was, he ushered in this kind of new generation of like club ballers. So he was the kind of transitional kind of defender that it was a stopgap between kind of Lovren and Van Dijk. And he came in, and the one thing about him, he didn't make any mistakes.
Yeah, like he was just solid.
I think that's why people kind of they kind of revolutionized his time a little bit better than it is because he didn't actually make any massive mistakes, but he wasn't fantastic either. You know what I'm saying? So I think I agree with you in Amber, to be honest. I'm green with you, Amber. I was thinking green earlier, but like, and obviously the fee that we got Robertson for, that's a green now. You know what I'm saying?
That has to be a green because
Klavan, not so much. Klavan is just like solid. It's solid, but it's not like fantastic signing.
Yeah.
Okay. Next.
Let's put Robert in green since we've already talked about it, I guess.
Yeah, you can put Robertson in green, yeah, for sure. Yeah, so just putting Robertson in the green. And then the next one was, it is Alex Maninger.
Red, man.
Red. Just some old guy.
In fact, you know what I would say? I don't say that. No, let me not explain it. I was going to say Ambi, yeah, because he was bought for a reason to kind of virtual is trained with the team. Like,
they didn't even get on the pitch, man.
Yeah, but he didn't get on the pitch. So fuck that. Fuck that, Red.
Next one is, my guy. So my guy, Gini Wijnaldum, bought for 25 million from Newcastle United. He came, funnily enough, let's talk about this because he actually came from, so when he was at PSV, he was playing as a 10 and a 10 that gets goals. He was kind of like exciting prospect. He got double figures in the Dutch league. And he's gone to Newcastle now. And they've played him. I don't think they played a 10 or I'm not sure they did. But
they played him in a 10 still.
They played him left wing. I remember them playing him left wing.
Oh, yeah.
Right. They played Gini left wing. And I think they did go down, but he was kind of like a bright spark. Obviously, the hat trick in the last day. That's what a lot of people remember.
And he scored 5 as well in a game. I can't remember what game that was. But yeah, that season, he scored 5 in the game.
That's mad. And then obviously Klopp's obviously bought him for 25 million. The first season I think he was quite attacking that first season. I do remember him getting like some amount of goals. I don't remember he didn't score at home.
I remember a goal against City, the header against City.
Middlesbrough on the last day.
Middlesbrough last day. When I thought he should have passed to Coutinho, but he ends up slapping it and get top 4. I would have to give him a green because of, I guess.
Dude, he's a solid green from.
Yeah, like
he transforms his vision into kind of this boring centre mid conservative centre mid.
Let's call it that.
Yeah, a conservative centre mid who kind of fills spaces, fills gaps, good technically, press resistant, and fills obviously, he kind of fills the gap for Robertson. And he has some key moments, you know what I'm saying?
Like, moments again, like that's one of the biggest things with Gini, moments again. Yeah. Like, talked about the Middlesbrough thing. Obviously, we definitely have to talk about Barca 4-0 in it. Like,
exactly. It comes on, scores 2 goals.
He was the spearhead for us being able to get that over the line. And I don't think he's done anything wrong in terms of the way he's played. I feel like, there was a whole Klopp is holding him back thing. But I think that's just maybe the player becoming more positionally aware and more mature as a player, knowing that maybe he may have to sacrifice for the
team. Okay, he wasn't good enough to play in that attacking
sense. He wasn't.
There was no reason for us to play
I can't even lie, there's times when I saw him go for a goal. There was one year that specifically seared into my head. I think it's against Leicester, yeah. I don't remember the game, but I remember the exact like vision of me watching it, innit?
Yeah.
He goes through and goal, yeah, and he tries to like jump and lob the keeper at the same time, innit? Like side foot it and lob the keeper for no reason. I think it was maybe Aston Villa in the cup. Yeah, maybe Aston Villa, something like that, innit? But he tries to jump and lob the keeper when all he needs to do is side foot it. And I feel like his composure in front of goal for us anyway wasn't always the best.
No,
he's had great moments. He's been an excellent servant, and similar to Clavan, he's ushered in like an era of
He's ushered in
the era.
He's part of the era. He's a linchpin of that era.
He's there. He's won the Champions League with us. Like
won the Premier League with us. And yeah, like there's no the elephant in the room is that obviously Thiago's definitely an upgrade on him for sure. I will definitely admit that. As much of a fan of Genie, there's definitely better players than him out there. But at the same time, he did bring a lot of stuff to us. And, you know what I'm saying? There's a lot of worse midfielders that you can get out there as well in terms of the fact that he's athletic, he's press-resistant, and he's tactically aware, like we said. So, yeah, great player for us. We'll move on. Next one is, this doesn't need much talking, Mohamed Salah, $43 million. Arguably, the club's greatest ever signing, maybe.
Yeah. You know where that goes, isn't it?
That goes, if I could create like a super green or like, I don't even know, you know what I'm saying, like a darker shade of green, because yeah, I think that's probably the club's best ever signing, to be honest. King Mo, boy, the amount of records he's broken, his first ever season. I was looking at it the other day, he got like someone, what did he get, like 44 goals in his first ever season? I think 34 in the league. Jesus Christ, obviously he helped us. I think he really propelled us from a top four team to a title winning team, in my eyes. That's where it really changed when he signed. But, yeah, he goes in green, obviously. Yeah, we'll be back after this break. Stay with us. And, yeah, we're going to rank some more of these signings.
Cool.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
UEFA Champions League football is streaming on Paramount Plus. 9 months of heart-stopping, hold-your-breath exhilaration is underway with the biggest stars, top teams, and craziest fan bases across Europe. Watch every game from the group stage through the knockout rounds as Benzema and Real Madrid defend their title against Liverpool, Man City, Chelsea, PSG, Barcelona and more in football's biggest club competition. So don't miss a single sweat-soaked second of regulation time, stoppage time and extra time and stream every match of the UEFA Champions League live exclusively on Paramount Plus.
Yeah, and we're back. So, the next signing, Dominic Solanke, I'm putting on a red.
Easy. Unfortunately, could have been better than what he was, but just didn't live up to potential.
Talented forward, but yeah, nah. Obviously, we don't have Andy Robertson, put him in the green. Oxlade-Chamberlain is the next one. Okay.
You know what, yeah, I need to, like, not be biased for this, innit? Because I wouldn't put him red straight away, but...
Okay. So my thing is moments. Okay, let me give both sides. So everyone knows I'm not Oxlade-Chamberlain's biggest fan. I do think he's a talented footballer, but for Liverpool, I don't think he's quite at the level at this point in time. The reason why I would... Where would I put him? I would actually put him in the amber. And the reason why I would put him in amber is because I feel like he had that run in, obviously, 17-18 where he was fantastic for us. He got us basically... Well, he was one of the linchpins in getting us to a Champions League final. Obviously, we did end up losing it, but he was fantastic in that. And there's some signings that we're going to mention. I can't mention an actual run of games, 5-10 games where they were fantastic. They were good. I can't. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? But Chamberlain, I can actually mention a run of games where he was consistent for us. He was good for us. And obviously, he got an unfortunate injury.
And I guess even this season, so last season, just gone when people at AFCON, he was okay. He had a decent run and he was able to be a stopgap in that sense.
And the season he scored, I think, what did he score? He's got like 8-9 goals where he scored against Genk twice. He scored against
Yeah. It was okay. That little outside foot fin- I think it was two outside foot finishes, isn't it?
Yeah.
One crashed in off the bar and then one like just slotted in the corner.
He's a good squad player at times. Obviously, he came to this squad, a young talent from Arsenal who probably wasn't, he was kind of frustrated. And then now he's left with a Premier League, a Champions League and quite a few trophies. And he's been involved in it to some extent. To some extent. So I think I'll put him in the amber. I think. What are you saying?
Yeah, I'm okay putting him in the amber still. I think his highs, is, even though they were short-lived, are big enough to like overturn
yeah.
a lot of what that went on.
Okay, next we have Van Dijk. Obviously, what are you saying?
Yeah, it's easy.
From yeah, again, another linchpin. Someone that turned us again from a top four team into... title-winning team. Our defence became solid when he came in. His impact, what he done in this team, we cannot replace. We cannot replace. Next up, this point here is a really key, I think, point. This kind of, so our name, I mentioned Robertson, well, Salah, Solanke, Robertson, Chamberlain, Van Dijk, Keita, and obviously Fabinho's to come as well. I think that point there is a real key point in Klopp's tenure. And I think
so many all the signings that we needed to help. Get over the line to start.
Normally, sign is right in that time, but next is Naby Keita. I'm going red mark. Try and convince me it's not
that's
red.
Okay.
Try and convince me it's not red, please.
No, it has to be red. It has to be red. See, okay. If it wasn't for the price tag and him being a number eight, us waiting a year, I would have put him amber because I feel like he's had decent performances and injuries have hampered him from like having a run of games where he's been absolutely crazy, but he's had spells where. He looks like he's picking up form and then all of a sudden injured.
Yeah.
Then, and from like the news of even this season in it of like trying to fake an injury to get a move, maybe we don't really know the full story. Apparently he really is injured and he's been pulled out of the Guinea squad again. But even if that's the case, either way, it's bad. Like you faked an injury is very bad. You injured again out of nothing. Like you haven't even played a match. Again, very bad. So he has to be a red man.
Yeah,
he used to be my guy, but I'm sorry it had to be you, bro.
It's the price. Like you said, if you got him for 10, 15 million and he's been a solid whatever player, cool. But we bought him for 52 million. He's got Gerrard's number 8 on his back.
Yeah.
He's never, ever delivered to that.
That's where I think people will, like rival fans, think that where we hate Keita. It's not we hate Keita. Like, he's just been very underwhelming. He still had decent performances and if he comes into the side, yeah, as opposed to playing James Milner, he would be a lot better.
For sure. But that's just, we bought him. We shouldn't be thinking about that. We shouldn't have even bought Thiago, to be honest. If Keita was who
he was,
we wouldn't have even bought Thiago. You know what I'm saying? We thought when we bought Keita, okay, now the midfield's probably going to be Fabinho, Gini and Keita, or Fabinho, Henderson and Keita, and that's it. You know what I'm saying? Our midfield's, that's it. We've got one of the best midfielders in the league. We're good. But it wasn't like that. You know what I'm saying? We still have to keep going back into the market.
People are talking about Keita over Pogba. I think this was Lewis still from Touching Goodness was saying Keita's going to outmatch Pogba because that's how highly regarded he was. And look at him now. He probably doesn't even reach the top 30 midfielders in the league at the moment. I don't know. Maybe when he's on form and he's constantly fit, yeah, technique-wise, talent-wise, yeah, but based off like performances and the outcomes, no.
I think he's arguably the worst signing on this list for me personally.
With everything considered, I think.
Yeah, so. With everything considered, he's probably Klopp's biggest flop. With everything considered, he's not the worst player, and he's not got the worst ability for sure. He's got probably one of the highest abilities on this list, but with everything considered, I think he's probably the biggest flop. Next is Fabinho. Again, another green for me. Anything to say on Fabinho?
Just an excellent servant in it, and I hope he's able to show his quality to the masses this season because people are starting to doubt him a little bit. And I think he needs that Thiago consistency next to him or somebody of that quality.
He needs someone that's not 37 next to him or 8 years old next to him.
He just needs an adult next to him, innit? Like, just not a pensioner or a little boy.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, Rodri These guys, Casemiro, these guys were playing against the
Bam, Rodri has Bernardo Silva, yeah, who
Bernardo Silva
drops in, and you know what? It's crazy. Bernardo Silva drops in so deep when he's needed,
bro,
because he knows that Rodri might be able to like be Gasmar, so he just comes in and then picks up the ball and progresses it, passes it back to Rodri. Now Rodri's got space.
He's and able even to do what he wants. Walker as well. He plays inverted. Stones and Walker both play inverted. So
yeah,
again,
man, it's so
you're
annoying.
Another person next to you.
So, I hope he's able to do his thing soon.
I thought that's fine, but yeah, that's not a conversation for another day. Fabinho won again a great, great sign and a great servant, bought for 43 million. Next is Shaqiri for 13 million. What are you saying, Mark?
That's one for Anik to argue, man. I'm gonna go amber or red in it.
I'm going amber.
Yeah, like I'm not too fussed by that. Like again, he was instrumental in the Barca match.
Yeah,
and he's come in spells and like been able to contribute.
Man United, obviously, two goals against Man United.
Two goals against Man United, which were great goals. The
Everton game,
header versus Newcastle in the run of missing out by a point. Like
he
had moments. It's not enough to put him in the green, and they're barely about enough to keep him over in because I don't feel like he's good enough. Like he was just a fat boy that.
Hey,
we feel like he plays for the actual TLF team, man. This is one of their big belly boys that knows how to kick a ball good.
I'm dead. Big Shaq, shout out Big Shaq. Alisson is the next one. Again, another transformational signing. Have to put him in the green. Boy, the amount of goalkeepers we had struggling, and then when we got Alisson, the change from him,
best keeper in the world, man.
Yeah, for sure. Next is Sepp van der Berg. Gonna put him into amber, maybe?
Yeah, do you know what is his story's not found out yet because he came as a 17-year-old, like a very, very like gangly 17-year-old that we knew wasn't gonna start. He needs to put on weight, he needs to get accustomed to the league, he needed to go out on loan, and what we're seeing is the process now in it. So you might be able to answer that in like 2-3 years, but not right now.
Yeah, and he's a centre-back as well. Centre-backs, it's rare that you see them, you know what I'm saying, play very young, 18, 19, playing at that level, very rare. Harvey Elliott, again, it's another one, it's hard to decide already.
What? I can't lie, Harvey Elliott, I'm going green.
Already, wait, why was he buying? It's 4.3 million, but I feel like the compensation we had to pay them was a lot more.
I think the compensation maybe have taken up to 6 million, yeah, but
oh, okay.
For someone that looks as talented as he is, yeah. Let's say we sold him today, we'd probably get like 40 mil.
Yeah.
Like, so I think if he's even after the injury, if he's able to continue on this trajectory, yeah, we're clear.
Mm.
So I'm going to put him in the green for now, still.
I mean, he's another one.
Whoever's listening to this and is buying Harvey Elliott stocks, yeah, stop it right now, bro. In the underrated app, yeah. Man should be the lead investor. Stop it, bro.
I'm dead. You probably just baited yourself out even more, but yeah. So I'm going to put these two together. Adrian and Andy Lonergan.
I'll get out
big of red. Adrian has to be the biggest red. And he's still at the club. He scares me. He actually bloody scares me, Adrian.
Do you know what it is? Because he seems like a sicko. Like, he seems like he doesn't know that he's tapped. You know one of those dangerous people, yeah, that don't know that they're fucked up. So, for example, I know you've seen the homeless man on the tube on the train in New York, yeah, that grabs that woman's food and grabs her rice or something. That's who Adrian reminds me of. Like, he moves like he could do something that mad, but at the same time, just walks around smiling all the time and like tweets like he's a normal person. But I know you're tapped, bro.
Bro, he just scares me. I can never get over that one chance. He wasn't even a goal. It's the Villa match where Watkins, he's the cross. and Adrian's just out of his goal. And then
Watkins, he just went for a stroll. He just went for a stroll. Like, no.
He's scary.
See when you said Karius has a concussion, he seems like he had a permanent concussion every single time he plays for us. But he means like it's normal and he'll smile.
Who are we doing a video of this Adrian transfer? I don't actually understand. Like, whose cousin is he? Like, I'm just so confused. How is he still here?
Obviously, he's probably had one of the biggest downs on this list in terms of the Atletico Madrid game, yeah, giving the ball away. in a match that was just before COVID. Say we did draw that match, we were able to win that match, we would have had a long COVID break, and who knows what could have happened after that. But that was a very, very bad performance, man. No. Let me go back on that. Karius definitely has the biggest flaw, but Adrian's in the conversation, innit?
Jesus Christ. Next, Taki Minamino. He got his first goal for Monaco the other day. Shout out
him. I'm going to go...
I'm putting him at
Amber. I'm going to go Amber. Yeah, I'm because Amber. We didn't buy him... I guess we could go... I would go Red, yeah. If I look at the context of... We went to RB Salzburg and we knew Haaland was there. We didn't prep anything for Haaland because we saw Minamino. We even saw Huang, the... Wolves forward. We even saw like a few men and we didn't prep anything for them, but we went for Minamino. But I'll like,
bro, push you know, Liverpool's thing though, man. Liverpool's thing. I'll give an example. Thing, you know, when you see like a group of baddies in it, and there's the one like Insta model, and there's another one, there's another thing, she's leg as well, and there's another thing, looks decent, like you think, should I go for the Insta model now? Nah, she's not even gonna hair my thing still, so you just go for a decent thing. You secure her, you go home, you know, enjoy your night. You know what I'm saying? Like, we knew the
best. That's the difference, between like seeing Megan Thee Stallion in the club, yeah, and like end up with Megan Thee Stallion or seeing. Let me not be disrespectful. Let me just erase that whole line of questioning. But yeah, we should have prepped something for him, and that's why I could like shift it to a red. But I don't think he's done anything wrong. He's coming at the right time, he scored goals, he was able to contribute. So, yeah, and we didn't see him as like a big signing. We saw him as like a very low risk signing that would be able to make some money, and we flipped him. So I don't mind the number either.
If he didn't have the season he had last year in terms of probably getting us to two cup finals, I would have put him in red. Yeah. But he actually has moments. Like the Leicester goal is a fantastic goal. And he has moments of getting us into the final. He had great runs. I think he got like 8 or 9 goals last year. And he didn't have hardly any starts. So yeah, shout out him. The only thing is in Amber is because when we signed him, a lot of men were saying, oh, this is a steal, blah, blah, blah. Look at Liverpool doing smart business again. It's going to be a steal for the years. It's a bargain buy. Yeah. It didn't. It's not that. You know what I'm saying? So I can't see it.
People calling for him to start above
Saturday. Yeah. It's not that. Amber. He's a talented player, but Shimikas, I'm saying Amber.
Yeah, I'll say Amber. Maybe if he performs to the level that we saw at Ajax throughout the season, then I'll put him in the green. But for now, Amber.
Again, another talented player. He pushed Robertson quite close to actually last year for a start, but didn't quite get there. He does have some scary moments in him as well, but I think he is talented.
Yeah, he just needs to sleep a bit more, man.
he's a good understudy for Robertson. Next one. Oh, and that was 11 million. Next one is Thiago Green. Tara, yeah. 27 million. Again, the impact he's had on our team, even though he's not fit as much as we would like him to be, the impact he's had on our team is great. So, yeah, put him in the green. Next, Jota, 45 million.
Green.
It's funny because he's another one story that's not written, but he's still green because the impact he's had is a lot. Pitulega. So, if people don't know who Pitulega is, he's a young Brazilian goalkeeper that I think Alisson recommended to our...
Yeah, he was at the same club as Alisson in Brazil and like he just moved around. He's at Macclesfield at the moment. He's had quite a few clean sheets. I think I'm going to put this in the same like position as Vandenberg in it. Like, we're still yet to see anything from him in terms of his development. But he's in the process of developing, so let's see what happens in it with that one. He could be the next number one after Alisson leaves if everything progresses well.
I hope so. Bajetic, you can't really put him anywhere. He's only had two of his performance appearances.
I can't lie, the way he was popping for me on FM, though.
Was he?
Last season, the way he was popping for me on FM, though.
Swear down.
Green.
I won't
even try to.
Okay, this one.
This one has to have its own category.
Ben Davis. You bought Ben Davis obviously in the lockdown season when all our centre backs were injured. Centre back crisis, Van Dijk, Matip, Gomez all dropped out like flies. And everyone was calling for signings. And Liverpool, they didn't want to sign in because they wanted to wait for Ibrahim Konate. So they signed Ben Davis for 1.6 million from Preston North End. His contract was running out. And they signed Ozan Kabak on loan, you know, as Liverpool do the bargain thing as we always do. Ben Davis, I think this is the most spookiest sign of all of them. Like,
I think you have to give him still. It's financial doping.
That is so spooky for me because we bought him and he didn't make one appearance for us to the point where we played Reece Williams, who, boy, again, another one. looks like a nice lad, but I don't think he's got the talent to make at this level. And again, Nat Phillips, probably a lower, he's maybe a Premier League defender, maybe a high-end Champions League defender.
You know what, is he should have went to Bournemouth. Bournemouth would have been absolutely perfect for him, but unfortunately it's not in it. But so, in terms of Ben Davis, yeah.
Like, has to be how the bad, like, how bad was he to the point where we couldn't play him? I know he got some injuries.
Do you know what's funny, yeah? Do you know what's funny? He's going to turn up against us. He
couldn't make it on the pitch.
He's going to turn up. He's going to have an amazing performance at the Ibrox. It's just written in the stars. It's written in the stars.
How?
We might win, yeah, but he's just going to be great. Like, win every tackle. Crunch Jota. Crunch Nunes. But nah, him bro. And Kabak here, the two that we signed in the lockdown season.
He's going to be looking spooky, bro. Ben Davis is going to be looking spooky. There's no way he's... Fam. He made no appearances for us and he bought him for that.
Yeah.
Imagine getting bought for 1.6 million and still being in the red. But, yeah. Kabak, I
got,
guess.
Got a little flip, though. Got a little flip.
Somehow. That's Liverpool juice. That's pure Liverpool juice. Pure Liverpool juice. Like, you know them ones where just like... Yeah,
he's got some Anfield on him still. Let's bring him.
Yeah, Quebec next one. I know Chris.
Yeah, red. Easy.
Red.
I don't know why we didn't. So I was on the flip team with Quebec as well. I think we should have activated the clause and then sold him straight away. But that's cool. Hey, that's me being a bit too.
Yeah, another red. Eight. Those two signings did not work out. Unfortunately. For us, you end up playing Nat Phillips and Reece Williams for the rest of the season, so it didn't work out. So both reds. You know what? This kind of, I think this kind of period is a bit like, I don't know. I think there's a bit. I think we might look at back at that period of like maybe we should have invested a little bit more in Klopp's.
100%, we should have.
So that we had Klopp, we that had lockdown Klopp season back
of a Premier League winning season, yeah. And you don't like I would have put the bag in his hand. Like you've just won the Champions League and then Premier League back-to-back.
Yeah.
You can have any player you want. Tell me what player I'll go and get. That's this... the reason I was on this whole Tchouaméni thing, innit? Like, I would have loved to be able to say to Klopp, yeah, you can have anybody you want. Pick a player. Okay, it's Tchouaméni. I know he wants to go to Real Madrid. We'll offer whatever Real Madrid offer. Maybe it doesn't work, but I just want to prove to you and prove to the market that we're willing to back you in it. So if we're coming in for a player next time, be worried, innit? And obviously that works in the negative way that you mentioned that clubs will tax us the same way they do United. But I really wanted to prove to Klopp that, well, I really wanted FSG to prove to Klopp that they want to back him to the hills and he deserves it, innit?
Mm. So, like, okay, so I mentioned the six players in a row here that we bought from 2020. So 8th of October 2020 to 6th of February 2021, and it's Pütüleğa, Bajetic, Ben Davis, Kabak, and Kate Gordon. And like, yeah,
it's a myth. Like, what's
yeah,
that?
It's just like, and this is just coming off of a season win. Obviously, we did buy Thiago and Jota as well before that, but I just feel like that period where, especially during the lockdown season, where like we just again, we came off the back of winning the Premier League and then the Champions League previous season before that, I think we did need to back Klopp a lot more. And look at that period where we bought Fabinho, Van Dijk, Robertson. Like, that's a transformative like, period where we literally changed from being a top four team to a title winning team. And I feel like...
And I think if you look at the respective period for City, you're going to see a big... You're going to see why, essentially.
Like,
City
Grealish. Better, you're going to see...
Grealish. You're going to see Rodri, I think, in that time period as well. You're going to see Cancelo, a couple of defenders. Yeah, I think you see Cancelo as a swap deal for Danilo. I think you see Nathan Ake. I think you see quite a few men that contribute for them.
Yeah.
All these men that we've mentioned, yeah, don't contribute for us at this moment in time.
I feel like that period, we could have really changed a title-winning team to a dynasty. You know what I'm saying? We could have changed from one league title to, like, a few. You know what I'm saying? We could have stayed on top, but where we didn't add... I feel like we just kept looking for like little bargain players, maybe little signings, little Cape Gordons, little Harvey Elliott's and whatever.
Shout out to Joe, yeah, that was part of Coppinger who mentioned this beforehand at the time. I said, you'll end up in McDonald's, innit? Where are we?
We're not quite at McDonald's.
We're in McDonald's. bro, we're in McDonald's. We're eighth in
the league. We're in Nando's. We're not at McDonald's. We're in Nando's. We're from Gaucho's to Nando's. But, yeah.
We're trying to argue the fast food place we're in. Like, either way, we're not eating steak no more.
Yeah, we're not still.
We're not eating steak no more.
And
I don't think the last few that we should really talk about. So I would say
we'll stop Gordon at like Diaz, I think. So Gordon, it's too early. Konate, yeah. That's a green. Konate booked for 36 minutes.
I think Konate is a green so far, isn't it? But yeah. I want to see how it progresses. Same thing with Diaz. I think
Diaz is a green
so far, yeah.
And then, yeah, definitely there. A
green so far. But I think it's more of a, I need to see, do you know what is it? He's on a green trajectory and I want to see like if he gets to just under Salah and Mane levels, or he's just like a green where, go back to the list, sorry.
Yeah.
A green where he's just maybe
like a genie level or something.
Yeah, like a genie level.
But the thing is, I just find it weird because it's like, he's a great player. He's a good player and he's someone that's going to be in our future. It's just, does he have to be Mane? Like, if the best version of Diaz is someone who's a dribbler, is someone who's a creator, fantastic. Then we got Jota and Salah to get the bulk share of our goals. You know what I'm saying? If he is...
Yeah, so winger, I don't think he has to be Mane at all. It's just...
But I think these opposing fans... opposing fans are getting into our heads of like, oh, what about Diaz then? Has he scored enough goals? Is he... But the best version of Diaz, we don't know yet. We don't know what he is. He might be
I don't personally think Diaz was brought in to replace Mane's goals. I think it was... Salah's going to always be our number one goal scorer, isn't it? Because of who he... Nunes was brought in to be the secondary, like, goal scorer. Yeah. And then Jota's always going to be in and around the goal. So he'll just step up a little bit because Jota's had periods of injuries throughout both his seasons. And he's still bagged double digits. So if he's able to get one clean run, he knows what he's on.
I expect Diaz probably to be getting 10 to 15 goals mostly every season and then a couple of assists too. That's probably what I expect. Yeah. He might have one odd season where he has 18, 19 goals, but that's probably what he gets. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think he gets a double-double every season, like 10 goals, 10 assists.
Yeah.
All pumped.
If the best version of Diaz, we're still waiting to find out. You know what I'm saying? We're still waiting to find out. We haven't got a mad sample size. He's playing well, and you can tell that he's definitely a talented player, but we're still kind of formulating this attack and seeing what profiles, you know what I'm saying, match with. Obviously, I'm conscious of time now. We've ranked all the kind of Klopp signings who kind of have obviously played games and you can really rank. And we're going to put it on the socials. Interact with us and tell us whether you agree, don't agree. And yeah, I think that's been a good pod. Thanks for coming on, Mark.
No worries, man. Anytime.
Yeah. And yeah, peace. Catch us next week. And peace.
Peace. Sports Social Podcast Network.